So tonight we've gone over marriage. We know what Patrick thinks it is between one man and one woman. And we also know that the Bible gives a lot of examples, but not a definition. I want to go back to Arthur Nikitai and Malakoi real quick. My last point that I didn't get to make there was that one of his favorite authors, John Stott, in the second chapter of his book, his newest book on same-sex partnerships, argues that same-gender marriage should not be allowed, by the way. I'll be very frank, that's what he says. And yet he admits that the New Testament passages could be boy prostitutes and the men who abuse them. In fact, the King James Version gets that right. Abusers, it's abusive. Going on to Hebrews, the 4th chapter and 12th verse and 13th verse, because I believe that the Word of God in its original language is inerrant. And when you don't use the entire Greek language to understand what the Word of God says, which there and all of them do not use the whole language. They use what they want. Biblical writings only. Indeed, the Word of God is a living and is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. God means what he says and says what he means. If it is living and active and is sharper than a two-edged sword, it is to the point. It's not going to be around the point, which is exactly what has to happen for Patrick's understanding to be true. Moving on down, all negative references to same-sex activity in the Bible deal with idolatry and abusive relationships and are abusive relationships. God and Paul had words available to show that committed, sexually active, same-gender couples, Erastes and Eromenes, were sinful. They did not use those words. If they were available, why would God make up something else? If that's not what was used, it can't be that. I believe God is accurate and to the point. To make claims that the Bible does condemn loving same-gender couples makes those who claim it guilty of false teaching, heresy, and ultimately blasphemy. We now know further that Erastes and Eromenes are what a bonded male couple was. If it's not mentioned, obviously it is not forbidden in the New Testament. If it ain't mentioned, it's not forbidden, right? Could be a matter of opinion, but a law preventing bonded male couples would be to add to the expressed will of God. Marriage indeed has changed in the time since God created the earth. To deny that marriage has changed and continues to change denies what Scripture says and is false teaching. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with a hot iron. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. To forbid marriage means, same-gender marriage means you have listened to deceitful spirits and added to the added laws that are not the express will of God. You have engaged in hypocrisy. It is possible that not listening to the witness of the Scripture without repentance for the false teaching will show you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and are bound for the hell that you talk about, taught false doctrine to the people of God, and thus are in need of repentance of this false teaching. In short, you teach and practice heresy. Romans, the 13th chapter and 7th through 10th verse. I'm going to move on down to the bottom verse just for time's sake. In other words, we're not to covet, we're not to do all of that stuff. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. To forbid same-gender marriage further means that you have not loved your neighbor or fellow Christian who disagrees with you with the love that is commanded of you. Condemns individuals to a life of loneliness and despair, which God did not want Adam to live, which you are obviously unwilling to bear yourself. Have intentionally used words, actions, and misusing of Scripture that are harmful to those different or who held different opinions, than you. Even Thomas Campbell, the founder of the Restoration Movement, in his fifth proposition says these things: the mortal authority to create new commands or ordinances which are not specified in Scripture. Saying same-sex marriage is not allowed breaks this proposition as you add new commands to not do things that are not forbidden. The churches of Christ come from Thomas Campbell. Nothing outside the New Testament may be made a term of communion among Christians, which is obviously not true among the churches of Christ in this day and age, with other churches or among themselves. I once attended Gooch Lane Church of Christ, and they would not fellowship with Madison Church of Christ because they had a fellowship hall. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and 8th and 9th verses, to the unmarried and the widows I say that it is well for them to remain unmarried as I am. But if they are not practicing self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than be aflame with passion. Matthew, the 23rd and chapter, verses 1 through 4, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, therefore do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. By the way, the 19th chapter that he mentioned earlier is about divorce. It's not about who should marry who. What could this mean then? To deny same-gender marriage means that you deny people an appropriate outlet for sexual desire and thus actively engage in false teaching. Again, you add to the expressed will of God your opinion and make it binding, just as the Pharisees, and heap burning coals upon your own head. To deny marriage means that you add burdens to others and condemn them to sin so that you may feel better about yourself, the essence of hypocrisy. You ask yourself, why am I so worried about this issue? Love requires an abiding presence, not just coming for a debate and telling people that you don't really know how they're messing up all the time. Rather than just being against something or someone, why aren't you for someone? Romans, the 14th chapter and 2nd through 9th verse. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord, and those who eat, eat it in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in the honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the living and dead. Some last things. The Scriptures reveal these things specifically. Not all is revealed in Scripture. Otherwise, there would be no reason to tell people not to find fault with one another for things that are not the express will of God. To make your opinion on something not specifically stated as required, the express will of God is judging and requiring something of another on a matter of conscience, and thus heresy. Some other last thing. Your understanding of Scripture means if same-gender marriage is not allowed, then neither is your church building. Neither is dating, as it is not the way they chose a spouse in Scripture, as well as other new things in our age. This is not the root of the hypocrisy. This is the root of the hypocrisy that denies God's plan by selectively saying things not mentioned are allowed and others not allowed and blaming it on God when it is you that is guilty. In other words, you can't say the building's okay, but you can't marry a person of the same gender because the building ain't allowed either. And you're as guilty of sin when you do that. If you say the same gender marriage is not allowed because we cannot procreate, you must stop all marriages where people cannot procreate from occurring. Otherwise, you are engaging in hypocrisy and false teaching of the Word of God. In other words, ladies, when you get past the age, you can't marry again.
whether you want to or not. Men, if you can't give it up to get with them, you can't marry again either. Luke, the 6th chapter and 43rd and 45th verse, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor grapes picked from bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. The last thing. The greatest reason for same-gender marriage to be allowed is that it will bear good fruit. It will bear fruit of hope, healing, peace, prosperity, and righteousness. You see, I don't believe you have to have a child and be able to have a child to have a good marriage. I think you have to be able to produce a spiritual legacy that transcends this world and helps people become better than what they were when they walked into it. And to deny that is to deny the work of Almighty God. Because He honored the eunuch. He honored everyone. He took what was profane and made it profound. Fruit that builds the kingdom rather than tears apart the world. We argue over if people should be married that doesn't threaten your marriage, Patrick. Doesn't threaten anybody else's marriage. The fact that I'm married to a man never changed your relationship. The fact that what threatens your marriage is too many of you can't keep your pants zipped with somebody you ain't married to. Fruit that shows a greater faithfulness to the plan and intent of God throughout history. Too long, we have claimed and believed and listened to people tell us we were evil and bad because they don't know Hebrew or Greek. They think Latin is Hebrew or Greek. Too often we have listened to people tell us that we are unworthy of the kingdom of God. Where the people who are unworthy is the people sitting here telling everybody, you ain't good, but I'm good. The people who are unworthy are the people who keep pointing out the fact that, oh, you can't have a kid. You know what? I got a kid. I'm bearing fruit. It may not be out of my own loins, but I'm bearing fruit because that child needed somebody. And he's got a loving husband, a loving father and a loving papa that will hold him and caress him and let him know that whatever happens, nobody is going to judge him in our household because he's half black and half white. Too long we've listened to people telling us we're unworthy. And today I've got news for you, Patrick. It is you that is unworthy. For none of our righteousness is worthy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags according to the Word of God. I don't sit and say this person should be married and this person shouldn't be married. I don't sit in judgment and look across like the elders at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama, saying you can't fellowship with Madison Church of Christ because they got a fellowship hall. They're not going to heaven. Your own person who started the restoration movement said you shouldn't use it as a reason to point out how bad they are. But it seems all that happens is over and over and over as a pastor, as a healer, as an elder, as a person who reaches out to people. All I do is fix somebody else's mess up because they don't know the Word of God. They choose to listen to people who went to some Bible vo-tech but didn't want to know that Dover, in his book, Greek Homosexuality, which is not, by the way, a Christian book, it is someone who's studying Greek homosexuality in ancient times, points out very clearly that Erastes and Eromanes existed, that the others existed, that Arsenikitai and Malakoi existed. But he doesn't say these are all-encompassing. In fact, the Greek and Hebrew words are so much broader than ours. Why, if God really meant to condemn people, Patrick, why didn't he use the words that were available
in the day and age, because he is a God of plain speaking, you yourself say. Why would he make up a different word to mean the people in a loving, committed relationship, like Alexander the Great? Why would he make up words that didn't mean the others that were in those committed relationships? No, you see, I believe in the inerrancy of the original language. And if God meant that I was condemned, he would have used Erastes and Aromanes. To say anything else is false teaching. False teaching. Today, ladies and gentlemen, our country continues to treat people as second-class citizens because we believe, as a country, that some are less than. I do not expect a non-believer to act as a believer. I expect the people of this church to act in certain ways. But that is our common covenant. We don't expect somebody in another church to act that way. That doesn't defile our communion together. For too many times, we have listened to people teach falsely and not challenge them. Today, ladies and gentlemen, that stops. I will challenge a heretic every time I see a heretic. And I will challenge them because I do not want them to finish committing blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And I do not want you, Patrick, to go to hell. But if you don't change your opinion, I absolutely believe that's where you're going. Because you are teaching false